Hare Krishna, everyone. Hare Krishna, Kala Chanji Dham, to all the symbol devotees in the Dham and all around the world and in the all the three worlds. Because wherever Krishna is honored and spoken, the words, the feelings are distributed everywhere. All the assembled devotees are there to hear it. That's why it's so nice sometimes that if there is, when you have your own, your darshan with your own personal deities, you still have the association of all the assembled devotees in your home or ashram or wherever it is you are. So the one thing we should always remember is that we are never, ever, never, ever alone. We're going to be reading today. This is Monday. What is the day? What is it? March 20th, 2017. We're reading from Canto 11. What is it, Prabhu? Today is the day of Srivas Pandit, Prabhu. Thank you for reminding me. Maybe you can give us a little bit of history about Srivas Pandit at the end of the class. That would be very nice. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 12, Text 21, and Text Chapter 12 is Information Beyond Renunciation and Knowledge. But before we discover or communicate about this particular text, it's always good to get the mercy of Sri Guru and Sri Garanga, and of course, always Radha Kala Chanji, before we take up on any seva service. I always like to come and offer whatever seva I have, but always ask for the mercy and ask how they will purify me. I think one should always be concerned if one is not receiving purification or some type of realization to make one aware that there is an omniscient presence, and that presence is God. So, and we're helped in so many ways, so we'll sing Jaya Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivana Dari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yashura Nandana Braja Chararanjanan. Yashora Nandana Braja Chararanjanan. Yashora Nandana
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Kala Chanjira Radha Kala Chanjira Hare. Jaya Radha Kala Chanjira Radha Kala Chanjira Hare. Jaya Jagannath, 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 Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jaya Jagannath, 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 Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jaya Baladev, 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 Jaya Jaya Baladev. Jaya Jaya Subhadra, 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 Jaya Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Jaya Subhadra. Subhadra, Subhadra, Jaya Jaya, Jaya Jaya Gornitai, 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 Jaya Jaya Gornitai. Jaya 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 Chotarara Kala Chanji, Chotarara Kala Chanji Jai. Jaya Chotarara Kala Chanji, Chotarara Kala Chanji Jai. Jaya Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda Radhe.
Govinda.
Jaya Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda Radhe. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Gurudev. Dev, Guru Dev, Jaya Jaya Guru Dev. Jaya 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 Radha Kala Chanji Radha Kala Chanji Rare Radha Kala Chanji Jaya Radha Kala Chanji Radha Kala Chanji Rare Nitai Goro Haribo Nitai Goro Haribo Haribo Nitai Goro Haribo 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 Nitai Goro Haribo Nitai Goro Haribo. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. Jai. Hari Haribo. Gosh, that almost sounds like the beginning and the end of the class. The energy that's going on here is wonderful. All right, but I guess we do actually have to discuss. It is so much nectar to discuss. The scriptures. And actually, this chapter gets into the process by which we can fully appreciate the scriptures. Text 21. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Gnana Timrandasya Gnanjanan Chalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tashmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manodishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadandikam. So we'll read the shloka. I'll read and you'll repeat. We'll read the translation. We'll also do word by word.
Yasmanidam protam asesham otam patoyata tantu vitana samstaha. Yaisha samsarata ruparanya kamatmaka pushpapaha prashute yasminidam protam ashesham otam patoyata tantu vitana samstaha yaisha samsarata ruparanya kamatmaka pushpapaha prashute yasmin idam protam ashesham otam Pato yata tantu vitana samsta yaisha samsarata ruparanya kamat maka pushpa pahala prasute.
Would anyone like to just read that?
Yasminidam protam ashesham otam. Tato yata tantu vitana samstaha. Yaisha samsarata ruparanya. Kamatmaka pushpa pale prasute. Yasminidam protam seshamotam. Tato yata tantu. Vitana samstaha. Yaisa samsarata ruparanya. Tamatma ka pushpa pale prasute.
Okay. So word for word.
Yasmin.
In whom? Idam. This universe. Protam. Woven crosswise. Asesham. The whole. Otam. And lengthwise. Pataha. A cloth. Yata. Just like. Tantu. Of the threads. Vitana. In the expansion. Samstaha. Situated. Yaha. That which. Esha. This. Samsara. Of material existence. Taru. The tree. Paranya. Existing since time immemorial. Karma. Toward fruitive activities. Atmaka. Naturally inclined. Pushpa. The first result. Blossoming. Pale. And the fruit. Prasute. Being produced. Now the translation is like this. Just as woven cloth rests on the expansion of lengthwise and crosswise threads, similarly, the entire universe is expanded on the lengthwise and crosswise potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is situated within Him. The conditioned soul has been accepting material bodies since time immemorial, and these bodies are like great trees, sustaining one's material existence. Just as a tree first blossoms and then produces fruit, similarly, the tree of material existence, one's material body, produces the various results of material existence. So we'll repeat. Just as woven cloth rests on the expansion of lengthwise and crosswise threads, just woven cloth rests on the expansion of lengthwise and crosswise. Similarly, the entire universe is expanded on the lengthwise and crosswise potency of the Supreme Lord. I'm sorry. Crosswise potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And is situated within Him. The conditioned soul has been accepting material bodies since time immemorial. And these bodies are like great trees, sustaining one's material existence. Just as a tree first blossoms and then produces fruit, similarly the tree of material existence, one's material body, produces the various results of material existence. Purport. Before a tree produces fruit, blossoms appear. Similarly, the word pushpa pale, according to Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur, indicates the happiness and distress of material existence. One's material life may appear to be blossoming, but ultimately there will appear the bitter fruits of old age, death, and other catastrophes. Attachment to the material body, which is always inclined toward sense gratification, is the root cause of material existence and is therefore called samsara taru. The tendency to exploit the external energy of the Supreme Lord has existed since time immemorial, as expressed by the words Piranya Karmatmaka. The material universe is an expansion of the illusory potency of the Supreme Lord and is always dependent on Him and none different from Him. This simple understanding can relieve the conditioned souls from endless wandering in the unhappy kingdom of Maya. The word Pushpa Pale may also be understood as meaning sense gratification and liberation. The tree of material existence will be further explained in the following verses. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Tirtha Swami Dinamane. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinamane. This is familiar because I remember reading it almost a week ago. But the information is as potent as it was, as it is today, as it was a week ago. And it talks about renunciation and how, especially the way chapter 12 begins. Chapter 12 talks about renunciation and knowledge. So it goes, it's actually beyond renunciation and knowledge. And originally, I thought everything hinged on renunciation and that was it. But as we go through the Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand there is much more than renunciation, not to discount it. It is extremely important. We should never think that we can do without it. But then beyond the renunciation comes knowledge. I try to expound upon this point to the best of my ability. And I try to think of points that I could relate to, that I could relate to others. Let's see, without being repetitious. I thought about the gopis in Vrindavan. And actually, in the beginning of the chapter, it talks about the different acts of austerity, chanting, fasting, even honoring special occasions for the Lord, the Lord's birthday, secret mantras, studying the scriptures. I think there was even planting trees, doing things in the mode of goodness and charitable. All these things are important. And actually, as I said, I thought they were the most important. And after that, that was it. Even deity worship, religious duties. It doesn't mean that these acts are insignificant. They're very significant. But there's more to it. Now, here the Lord gives Uddhava the instructions in, let's just say in chapter 12, that he should take to the gopis of Vrindavan's behavior, and he should take shelter of the gopis of Vrindavan. And this is confidential information because when you're first coming to understand Krishna in your material body, in this material world right now, and you come to Krishna consciousness, again, sometimes we misunderstand the purpose of the gopis, because here in the temple, there is a very nice, there are a couple of photos of the Lord and his activities with the gopis. And as I said, if one does not understand, one does not take the steps of processing Krishna consciousness, one will misunderstand the relationship of the gopis. The gopis are the most sincere, elevated devotees because they're not so much in the process of deity worship, studying the mantras, doing charitable acts for various people. Their main concern is that they have pure love of God. Pure love. Unadulterated, pure love. And that love is not like the love in the material world, because in the material world, the love that we know is like the, the Kalpa Viksha. I think Nityananda Prabhu was talking about, Nityananda Chandra was talking about that yesterday. That's a tree where, if you're looking at it from the reflection of the river or the water, it looks like the tree is upside down, so you're not actually seeing the tree. The love here in the material world is contaminated with sense gratification, lust, and it's temporary. The gopis, the women of Vrindavan, are in love with Krishna, and it's a pure love. Whatever the Lord's needs are, the devotees, the elevated devotees, the gopis are there. I mean, the gopis are so sincere in their attentiveness to the Lord, which is the point that we're supposed to be reaching at some point, that they leave their families. There's a story where after hearing the flute of Lord Krishna, the women of Vrindavan left their families, their husbands. There was food cooking on the stoves, and they left the food going. Some of them were nursing their babies. Some of them left the babies. When they appeared before the Lord, they were so much in complete focus of the Lord that some of them came with their makeup smeared over their face. The lipstick was not on their lips, it was smeared. Their gopi skirts, their saris were on, some of them were on backwards, some of them were on the wrong side. And it's just an example of how intense our focus and our love should be for the Lord. And it goes on to state again that the steps or the science of Krishna consciousness, the chanting, the reading the scriptures, the hearing, and all the other motions, they're important, but there is something far beyond those simple acts. And it goes back again to devotional service, to association with devotees. And it's so important to find devotees, to find the right devotee. It's very important, but your heart will know. Your heart will know when you're associating with the proper devotee. And some, just from that simple act, that devotee can teach you, you can gain and acquire so much knowledge and love of God. I have to relate it to osmosis. And I think that's probably the only word that I carried out of the biology class. And I think it's going from the region of high concentration to low concentration or something along that line. But just the various association, you can attain the knowledge, more knowledge of the Lord, and more love of God simply by the association and by devotional service. Those acts are very, very important. It pleases the Lord. And as I said before, the Lord does not discriminate. He does not have favorites. But when one is sincerely worshiping the Lord and one is honoring the Lord's devotee, that's very important. Like a parent with their child, you are very happy when someone is properly giving attention, someone very special, is properly under your tutelage, giving attention to your child or either helping your child. And with the Lord is very happy when his devotee is being served. He's very unhappy when the devotee is offended or when the devotee is mistreated. But these things you learn not only through scriptures, but watching a devotee interact. Sometimes our best examples are not just what we say and what we do. They do have impact, but it's the example of our lives and how we live our lives. The other point that I wanted to make is that this Krishna conscious process is a scientific process. It does work. And those previous steps that I mentioned to you, they are steps that one must take in order to attain the final goal, and that's love of God. Now, I've not been in Krishna consciousness a long time, but I've been in it long enough to know that I've not seen one just chant and attain the love of God, or just read and automatically they attain the love of God. Not to say that there aren't special spirit souls out there that have so much credit that all they need to do is take a material body in this world and maybe pick up a little bit of where they left off and then they're done. But that's a very rare occasion. So the point of the acts and the austerities is that they are important. If you do them consistently, and I'll repeat them again, but if you're following them consistently in the proper association, then love of God is attainable. It is attainable. And I've seen it done. I can use myself as an example. But I just want to repeat these steps, these scientific steps. And Srila Prabhupada mentions it in the Science of Self-Realization. Let's see. I think it was Science of Self-Realization, page 11 or page 34. And I always like to quote Srila Prabhupada because he was a very special soul that came into this world. And he didn't have to come. But he did. And not only did he come and give instructions and teach us how to live, but he also taught us how to leave the world, which is extremely important. Here Srila Prabhupada says, and this is under your original consciousness, is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is dormant in everyone's heart. And when one comes in contact with devotees, it is awakened. Krishna consciousness is not artificial. And it goes on to discuss this scientific process and what religion is. It says religion actually means to know God and to love him. That's it. Whatever religious practice you're studying it, the ultimate end result should be love of God. Period. You don't need to dress it up so much. Just simple love of God. And it says, we are presenting the science of how one can know Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by practicing the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. They teach us that our only business is to love God. And I like this other important point that Srila Prabhupada makes. Because most religions have a need to focus their teachings and preachings on the business of asking God for things. And actually, you don't have to ask the Lord for anything. The Lord knows our heart. He even takes care of the birds and the trees, even the creatures on the ground. Their needs and their wants are met daily. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't pray, but it does mean that we don't have to come to the Lord, and it doesn't have to be a business transaction. Lord, if you do this for me, then I'll do that. It doesn't work, but everybody has their own particular place in life at a particular time. And there are specific religions that are meant for specific people. But there is a similarity in the legitimate ones. And that main and basic similarity, in addition to love of God, is that we should do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Is that we should love our neighbors as we love ourselves. The other point that I was thinking about, I remember when I was growing up, the other point that I thought was impossible, and this is a little off track, is that when we forgive someone, we should forgive them. I don't know if anybody remembers this, but we should forgive them 70 times 7. And that's like 490. And I'm thinking of anybody. Do you remember that? I don't know. But I don't know of anybody in my life, any individual, that I've had to forgive 490 times. I think if I've had to forgive you under... If it gets to that point where I have to forgive you that many times, my limited knowledge as I was growing up is that you no longer became a part of my life. But the points are love for our fellow human beings, and that we should treat each other as the Lord treats us. Now, that process does not happen overnight. Some of the best spiritualists in the world can quote, can pull from their minds different quotes and tell you what it means, and could go on for days speaking the glories and the wonders of particular religions. But when it comes down to them actually practicing it, it's a totally different story. So it's not easy. But the point I'm saying is that, oh, there was another part on page 34, and then I'll read it, in The Science of Self-Realization. Okay, well, actually, it's where Srila Prabhupada says, again, that religion also means science. People have wrongly taken religion to mean death, to mean faith. I believe. And then he asked a disciple to look up the word religion. And here it says, the recognition of superhuman control or power, and especially of a personal God entitled to obedience, and affecting such recognition with the proper mental attitude. We must both accept that there is a supreme controller. Everyone has to accept that. That is religion. Not this we believe animals have no soul. But it goes on to understand the meaning of religion, that being a science and that being true love of God. And as devotees, we've been told that these are the steps and the processes that one takes when one is understanding how to love God. And it doesn't mean that when you practice renunciation, that is the end of all ends. It's just the beginning. these are the steps again. It says, the association of saintly devotees destroys the soul's attachment to material life and is capable of bringing even the Supreme Lord Krishna under one's control. Neither yoga, Sankhya philosophy, ordinary duties, study of scriptures, austerities, renunciation, works of Ishta and Puritam, charity, vows of fasting, worship of the deity, secret mantras, visiting of holy places, nor adherence to any major or minor regulative principles. Doesn't mean we shouldn't follow the four major regulative principles. In every age, then it goes on to speak of the different entities that come into the world in the modes of passion and ignorance. But they're always human beings in the categories of businessmen, women, workers, outcasts, and so on, who cannot study the Vedic scriptures. So the very fact that you're here listening to the Vedic scriptures is a very special mercy that you've been given. Not everyone can come to this. And also going back to the process of knowledge. It doesn't mean that the titles that we have in Krishna consciousness are extremely significant. They're there for a purpose. They're there for us to honor them. But sometimes you can be given the title of Brahmana. You may not even deserve, very few of us even did. I don't believe anyone really deserves the title of Brahmana in the age of Kali, because we're not practicing the way the Brahmanas practice purely when the Lord was in his original form on the earth 5,000 years ago. What to say of when he was here in the form of Lord Chaitanya? Our practices have become tainted. But the point I'm making is, whether you're a Brahmana, a Kshatriya, a Sudra, does that mean that you're going to be elevated to the spiritual world any quicker because your title is a little bit higher than others? I've seen such devotion from people or from devotees that come in to the temple. And as far as they go, they may just wash pots. They may do something else. And most of them, of course, are doing something else outside of the temple. But some may come in and sincerely wash pots. Some may come in and clean the temple. And then we go right up to the Brahmana. And they're practicing puja. They're serving the Lord directly in the temple on the altar. But because of their position, because of their vanashram dharma, it does not mean that Brahman is going to be elevated to the higher spiritual planet quicker than that person that's coming in to do the pot washing. It's a matter of spiritual internal consciousness. That's what connects us to the Lord, not the external things that we're doing. Not to say that they're superficial, but they are steps that we can take. And as I mentioned earlier, just being in the association of devotees, you acquire such knowledge about the Lord, and you learn to love the Lord. This is ultimately what Krishna consciousness is all about. It's at the point where you can be alone. I did say that we're never alone because Krishna is always with us. But you could be sitting in your room or wherever it is, just you and your japa mala. You can be hearing bhajans or you can be chanting. And that moment can be so blissful and so sweet And to me, that makes me think, or that reminds me that I must be connecting, or we must be connecting a little bit with the Lord, because why else does it feel so good? And I'm not taking anything, I'm not smoking anything, I'm not drinking anything, and what do? They shoot up. I'm not doing any of that. I'm not saying that I am at that point where I have complete love of God. I'm working on it. But the point that I'm making is that there is a scientific process to Krishna consciousness, and it does work. The ultimate result before love of God, preferably in that order, is devotional service and association with devotees. It's so simple, it's complicated for some people. Also, the other importance of the process, the scientific process of chanting and all the other steps, is that it conditions your mind so that your mind should be 24/7 on Krishna consciousness. His name should be on your tongues. It should be vibrating constantly. Because, you see, ultimately, whenever it is our time to leave the world, it matters a great deal where your mind is focused. I remember someone saying that if you're... Well, look at the devotee, Bharat. He was so dedicated to the deer that when he was in the process of leaving his body, he was thinking of the deer, and he attained the body of the deer. But he was very fortunate because he remembered his previous life. So he was elevated from that point, even of the deer, to the spiritual planet. But think of, I believe it was Ajamil. And of course he had a lot of boons previously before he took to the debauchery of the lifestyle that he led. And at the time of death, by chance, he called his son's name Narayana. He didn't mean to call the Lord's name, but Narayana is the Lord's name. And because he did, he was heard, and he was rescued from the Yamadutas, just accidentally. And there's another story of the very wealthy merchant who was very, he was Krishna conscious, he was God conscious, and he raised a lot of boys. He had a lot of boys, so he named them, gave them various names, spiritual names. And his main concern was that at the time of death, he wanted to remember the Lord. So when the time came for him to leave his body, he's surrounded by all of his sons, the family, and he's thinking about the Lord. And then this thought comes to his mind, and then he goes, and I wonder who's watching the store. And at that point, he leaves his body. Because as quickly as his mind went off of the Lord, it was on the store. So even though we can practice repeatedly, we can never practice enough. We can never have, I don't believe there's such a thing as having too much good association or too much devotional service, because it does have an impact on your consciousness throughout your life, and particularly at the time that you leave the body. There's no guarantee you're going to be surrounded by devotees. There's no guarantee that anyone is going to be there. But if we remember and know that we have had the full association of the Lord and his devotees, and that's been our focal point, then the chances are very good. Hare Krishna, please come in. Please come in. It is a very good chance that at the time of leaving our bodies, our minds will be on Krishna and our life will not be totally in vain. So I'm going to end it at this point. And as I usually say, there's always repetition in the scriptures. Sometimes the description of a point is so elevated you miss it. And then there are other times when the body is, when the mind is ready, no matter how complicated that point is, even if you don't understand the shloka, Krishna allows you the intelligence to understand what you're feeling. And it doesn't matter who you are, or where you come from, or what body you're in. The very fact is that we offer Krishna consciousness to everyone. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur was Muslim. And he is a very elevated spiritual soul in Krishna consciousness. So what to say of anybody else, male, female, it doesn't matter. Was it Haridas Thakur? The one with 10 children? My apologies. Haridas. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the father of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Which one? Haridas Thakur. I'm sorry. Thank you, Prabhu. Haridas Thakur was Muslim. But yet, he had such a profound impact on Krishna consciousness. And he is very much remembered and very much an elevated soul in Krishna consciousness. So again, the point that I'm making is that it does not matter where you come from, who you are, what body you're in, Krishna consciousness is being offered to all. So at this point, we'll end. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Yes, Vishwa Bhagavat. Prabhu.
Your Guru Maharaj used to have Vaishnav relations seminars where he would... I attended one in Russia that was really amazing, how he was able to take different devotees that were following process of Krishna consciousness, but they weren't able to get along with one another.
Yes.
He would find a household couple that's about to divorce, and you'd get them on the stage, and or you would get two brahmacharis. I remember he had two brahmacharis that mm-hmm. really needed to get along with each other because one was a temple president, the other one was a regional GBC secretary, mm-hmm. and they couldn't stand being in the same room with one another. And he would use a process of getting them to back together by... different things. One thing he did was he had them write down all the problems that come from not getting along.
Yes.
Like disruption to the service of the spiritual master, offenses to one another. Mm. And then he would say that, have them say 10 good things about each other that they could think of. And then another thing he had them do was tell them the last, if you knew that this person was going to die as soon as they left the room after this conversation, what would be the last thing you would like to have them hear from you? And in this way, he would take these people that couldn't get along at all, mm-hmm. and they would end up reuniting in love and friendship, and then having the whole crowd, there's like 6,000 devotees there watching
yes.
this. So they'd all go completely next to you, and then they'd embrace one another, and then, you know, Bhakti Tirtha Swami would effectively simply resolve the conflict and make them like each other once, mm-hmm. somehow, you know. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, that was 15 years ago, and since he's left the planet, I never hear of anybody doing that service anymore. And therefore, you have a lot of devotees like that follow the process, but they have a very bad relationship with one another, mm-hmm. and it doesn't get resolved. It just goes on. So, how does that affect their overall Krishna consciousness? In the sense that is it not necessary to resolve these conflicts before getting to the spiritual world, or devotees just go ahead and hate one another, but still, you know, simultaneously just serve God and mm-hmm. and find a place in the spiritual world where everybody seems to get along. So.
Okay. Good point. You're right, you don't see that much anymore. You really don't. And actually, it's not beneficial to spiritual life to not resolve that conflict, which is why there is a session or a class that one of my God sisters would do, conflict resolution. You become a disturbance to the spiritual master. It's like a thorn in the spiritual master's foot. And it's a disturbance to the Lord that we don't get along with each other. It's very important because most of us are here because we've made some offense previously and we've been given the opportunity to have the human body again to correct that situation. But some of us refuse to do it, and we keep repeating the birth and the death, the old age, the disease cycle, lifetime after lifetime. It is very important to resolve the issues because in the spiritual world, there is no nonsense like that. Yes, devotees are competitive for Krishna's love, but it's in a mood of love. It's not in a mood of, I'm better, I'm serving the Lord better than you, or the Lord loves me better. Pure love of God and respect and love for each other is what exists in the spiritual world, and that's why it is there is so blissful. That is why we have to go through this stringent process of being on this material planet and going through whatever it is we need to go through, because it's a matter of purification. Because eventually we should and will be going, hopefully going before the Lord, and you can't come to the Lord in that frame of mind. As far as not seeing it again, what I found is that some of the instructions that Gurudev left, because he tried to cram in a lot of instructions, some of it is recorded, some of it is personal conversations that we had at Gita Nagari, the times that we thought he was leaving his body. And one of the points is that if you don't see someone doing the right thing, you do it. You take responsibility. If it means a matter of resolving a conflict, you start the process. Because before you look at someone else and figure, well, they're responsible, look at yourself first. And then from that platform or from that foundation, then you go on through the process of trying to resolve the conflict, whatever it is. It is never healthy to not resolve a disturbance or conflict, because it will come up again. It reminds me of sweeping dirt under the carpet. After a while, it's going to begin to show. And depending on what type of dirt it is, it's going to begin to smell. It does not go away, and it has to be resolved. So, Prabhu, we have to initiate whatever processes that are beneficial to Krishna consciousness that we no longer see performed. We have to take it upon ourselves to do it ourselves. And then someone following our example will do it. They always say it takes one spark, one flame to start a fire. Same in the process of taking it upon yourself to resolve a conflict. A lot of things are not happening the way they used to years ago. Maybe our responsibility is now is to be that person that initiates that change. Or what is that saying? Be the change. Yeah, that was a real catchy phrase, but yes. Sometimes we have to take it upon ourselves. And the steps can be bold, and someone may comment about it, but if you know in your heart that it is the right thing to do. And sometimes I'll think, what would my guru do, or what would Srila Prabhupada do? If that's what they would do, I'd do it, and not care what anybody thought. But thank you for the question. Thank you, Prabhu. Anyone else have any comments or question that they want to make? Oh, and Prabhu, you're going to tell us about the appearance day, or? Oh, Prabhu, do you want to comment?
Shiva's Pandya?
Yes. Oh, you would give it to your son. That's Dad passing the book. Ah, Jai.
He's exaggerating a little bit.
Because
all I know is that Shivas is one of the Panchatattva, and he was a family man, and he would give his house of where he stayed at for the kirtans that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would perform all night, the kirtans, at his place at Shiva Sangam in Mayapur. I mean, there are many stories. I actually don't remember them.
But it was
Hare Krishna. Basically, I was talking to my father this morning, and I heard a point that some people, they have some, they're concerned, like, where is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace?
Mm-hmm.
And we know that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had discovered that the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is on the east side of the Ganga, where we know the temple is right now.
Mm.
The yoga pit.
Mm-hmm.
And that would make, there was another reference that was discussed. It goes like, excuse me for my voice.
Okay.
It goes like this, that we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have kirtan all night, mm-hmm. and at Shiva's house. And Chankazi, we know, is a little bit down the road, on the way to the Jagannath temple.
Mm.
And so somewhere it says that Chankazi would hear these kirtans all night and be a little bit annoyed.
Mm.
So one of the arguments is that how would Chankazi hear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtans if it was all the way in Navadvip?
Yes.
Obviously it's there at Shiva Sangam. I mean, how that connects to where he is born, I'm not quite sure, but
mm-hmm.
somehow that supports that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace is there.
Yes.
Just some support.
Yes. Very good point. Thank you for sharing.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. And the point to take away that I hope will have some impact is remembering this shloka. Let me see if I have it right. Evam satata yukta ye bhaktistvam pariyupasate ye chapi aksharam avyaktam tesham ke yogavitamaha. Arjuna inquired, which is considered to be the most perfect? One who is constantly engaged in your devotional service, of one who worships the impersonal Brahman, or the one who is constantly engaged in the Lord's devotional service is the most perfect. Any other comments? I thank you for being here, for listening to my humble explanations. Forgive me if something was mispronounced or incorrectly given. I am doing my best to honor my guru who honored his guru, Srila Prabhupada. So I'm still working on the process and trying to come to perfection. So Thank you for tatikshaswaying or tolerating it. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Radha Kala Chanjidam ki jai, Gaura Pramananda, Haribo Hare Krishna, Antaryami.
Her Grace Antaryami.
Ki jai. Vaishnavs ki jai, Hare Krishna.